Hey DTM family, this is Minister Regina, and I am trying to attempt to anyway make sure I'm all hooked up. Yeah, I know I was supposed to do that before I went on, but I forgot to put it on. Okay, I am aware of the protocol, but I forgot to hook it up. This is Minister Regina. Hello, Pastor Carol. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. We are, I don't even know what week this is. Like week six, maybe? Maybe week six? Maybe seven of us meeting here virtually on Facebook Live every week for our prayer time. I know that as of the post that I saw on the website for Springfield, the stay-at-home order had been extended through May 4th, but I'm still not aware of the social distancing regulations and all of that. As far as I understand, that's going to still stay in place to keep, 6 feet apart and all that. For the next few weeks, even after the stay-at-home order is lifted. So I still don't know what we're going to do as far as gathering together physically at the church. But again, as I've said every week, until we know differently, we are going to make ourselves available here every week for prayer time on Wednesday evenings. I am working from home, like many of you probably are. Thank God for that ability. Good evening, Pastor Gwen. I'm working from home through May 11th. I think May 11th. Yeah, May 11th is the day that I go back to my office. So anyway, like I said, until we know differently as far as the social distancing requirements and the gathering, the number of gathering, the number of people in a gathering, we're still going to make ourselves available here on Wednesday nights. Praise God. Hello, Sister Beth. God bless you. I want to welcome again all those who have joined us on tonight. I'm Minister Regina, one of the ministers here at Deliverance Temple. So glad to have everyone on tonight, those of you who are watching live and those who are going to watch the replay later. I have a brief thing that I want to share with you before we get into our prayer time. As usual, if you have a specific prayer request, please feel free to type it down in the chat. And while I'm sharing what I believe the Lord has for me to share, please do that. Feel free to do that. Put those specific requests down there. And then after I'm done sharing this brief word that the Lord's laid on my heart to share with you guys tonight, then we will end our time in prayer. It's always my goal to kind of keep it at 30, 45 minutes. If we go over, sorry. Amen. Hello, Sister Rita. God bless you. Thank you for being here on tonight. So, when I prayed and asked God what he wanted me to share with you guys today, I was kind of intrigued by it, honestly. I was thinking about how everything has really changed in our world in such a short amount of time. I mean, in the span of 6 weeks, really. Even though, let me say this. Even though, there are parts of the world that were already experiencing the change, Asia, Europe, they were already experiencing the changes because of the pandemic. Once it hit America, obviously, that's when it became personal to us, those of us living here in the States. And so that's the time frame. That's why I'm using that time frame. It wasn't until, the past 6, 7, 8 weeks that it actually hit our shores where it became personal. Amen. So I was thinking about all of that, and I had thought about how years ago, more than 10, a lot of people were prophesying about The shift, S-H-I-F-T, the shift, and how God was going to shift things. And I know that stands out in my mind because I was one of the ones. And I'll never forget it. 2006, 2007, somewhere around in there, was asked to minister at the church where the ministry, the prophetic ministry that I went through the school, they invited me to come out to Nixa and minister. And when I asked the Lord what he wanted me to talk about, he gave me this word that was so, it was so transformative for me. That's right, Brother Mark. And so after that, I heard lots of people around the country, around the world, talking about this shift that God was going to bring into the world. And as the, you know, these days things trend and things are hot, you know, and popular, you know, and even if God didn't give it to you because it was popular, you feel like you needed to address it, whatever. Be careful of that, by the way. And so it kind of waned off a little bit, but in the last couple of years, it seemed as though there was a rekindling of that word, shift. And I was hearing it again. And I thought it was interesting. So here we are, late February, early March of 2020, here in the States at least. All of this stuff begins to hit. And as I was praying about what to share with you guys and thinking about what to share with you guys today, in my spirit, I felt this phrase. It was a forced shift. It was a forced shift. And I said, God, what does that mean, a forced shift? And what came up in me, y'all have to pray with me on tonight, because I really feel this thing and I'm trying to be calm while I deliver it so that, you know, it can get across. So I said, God, what does that mean? What does that mean, a forced shift? Well, sometimes when we don't go along the way that we need to, things come to disrupt, causing us to reevaluate, causing us to go back to the drawing board, causing us to take a step back and say, wait a minute, what is this? What I need to do? And that is what we really are looking at, with the implications of this pandemic, you know, economically, implications on families, and really the church is where I'm going on tonight. The shift that has taken place is not coming anymore. For years we've been saying 10, 12, 13 years, we've been saying it's coming. It's here. It's literally here now. And so I was reminded of that message that I preached in Nixa 2007. And the stories that the Lord gave to me to bring that message to the people there. Moses and this water. This blew me away. I'm really trying to stay calm, y'all. I'm not pausing because I don't know what I'm saying or I'm going to say. I know exactly what I'm going to say and where I'm going, but I'm trying to be calm while I'm saying it, okay? So in the message that he gave to me in 2007, he said, he reminded me of when the people of Israel, the children of Israel, they're wandering through the wilderness. They were thirsty. They hadn't had any water. And they began to cry out to Moses. And there are two instances of this. One in Exodus 17 and the other in Numbers 20. Now, in 2007, I understood that these were two separate instances, but something hit me today as I refreshed myself on this that we'll get to in a moment. That's why I'm really trying to be calm. So in Exodus 7, it looks like it's mirrored, but it's two different things. It's two separate occasions. And so in Exodus 17, the people were thirsty. They needed water. They were crying out to Moses. And in verse 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Stay with me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod." Remember, he came out of Israel with this rod, right? Out of Egypt with this rod and did all these miracles. So he told him, "Take the rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold," verse 6, "I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." And in verse 7, he says, he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not?" So I'm thinking about this today. I'm like, okay, God, the shift is here. He's reminding me of this message. That was the first part of that. But here, sometime later, a little while later, in Numbers chapter 20, they're at this same spot. I'm really trying to hold myself. They're at this same spot, but the difference this time is that Moses' sister just died. Miriam had just died and was buried there. And in Numbers 20, verse 2, there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord." Let's jump on down to verse 6. "And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying," verse 8, Numbers 20, verse 8, "Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak you unto the rock before their eyes." Speak to the rock. In Exodus, he told him to strike the rock. Numbers 20, he's saying, "Speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink." Here's where it went south. "And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered together the congregation before the rock, in front of the rock. And he said to them, 'Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?' And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron," verse 12, "because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given to them." Now, what was the problem with him hitting the rock this time? He hit the rock before. Why was it a big deal? God was trying to shift his people. And if the leader won't shift, the people as a whole won't shift. And if God's plan is for the whole group to shift, he had to make a change. So when he said, "Okay, you didn't believe me, so you can't take the people in." And I remember as a teenager reading that story and thinking, God, that is so unfair. He had been in this wilderness for 40 years with these people. They were murmuring all the time. They were threatening him all the time. It was hot. Come on, somebody. It was hot. The desert, hot. and you wandering around for 40 years with these people, trying to lead them, trying to, you know, minister to them, and it was always a problem, something was always wrong, somebody was always complaining, and he makes one mistake, God, and he loses out. As a teenager, when I read that for the first time, it completely floored me. I know somebody's already, the light bulb is already coming on. And so, but God, when I was praying about it, and as I was asking God about it today, it was like, if the leader can't shift, the people won't shift. And if the purpose that God has in his heart for the people is to move over here, and the leader can't go over here because he refuses to do what is required to do that, he has to make a change. He has to make a change because nobody is above the purpose. Nobody is above the purpose. Nobody can be, no one can sit in the way of the purpose being fulfilled. It's never about only us. Yes, absolutely. God speaks to us individually. He ministers to us individually. He cares about our individual lives. He cares about our individual relationships, our individual emotions. But when I tell you that it doesn't only include you, you have to understand that if he is using you to be a leader, you have to do what he has commissioned you to do, or else he has to get somebody else, because he is not going to thwart his plan. Okay. So if Moses would be unable to take the people where God was trying to take them because he wouldn't shift, he had to be replaced. Again, as 13, 14 years old, I thought that devastated me because I couldn't think of making one mistake out of all those years. All of those years from the time he was stood before Pharaoh, from the time he, oh my God, I couldn't imagine it. But God said, no, Gina, you have to shift. When I say shift, you have to shift. And so I want you tonight to touch your own heart, touch your own head and say, shift, 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 Gina, shift, shift. It's so important. God was taking them from relying on their own strength and their own intellect and their own abilities, right? The first time he said, hit it, hit the rock, right? That was, yeah, take the rod that I gave you. Remember, he still gave him the rod as well. So it's really not anything that Moses could have done. But he took it in his hand and he said, hit it. Yeah, hit it. The first time. But the second time, he said, speak to it. Speak to it. Declare what God decreed. He was taking him, he was trying to take the people from thinking they needed to use their own ability and their own strength, right? Their own power to make stuff happen, to stand in the authority that he had given to them, and to just say what he told them to say. My God, to declare what God decreed. But unfortunately, Moses didn't do it. So the last time God spoke to him to strike the rock and water will come out, and it did. It absolutely did, just like he told them. This time though, in the same exact spot, the same exact scenario, just a little while later, God wanted to do a new thing, right? It was the same exact spot, the same exact rock, but it was a little while later. And sometimes things circle around back to us, right? We go through it once and it comes back around to test us again. What are you going to do different this time? What are you going to do about it this time? That same man come around the second time, what are you going to say? That same temptation comes around, what are you going to do different this time? It was the exact same spot, the exact same rock, but God wanted to do a different thing this time. a new thing, and he gave Moses a chance. He gave him a different kind of instruction. He told him to speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. But instead, Moses hit the rock. Maybe he was upset. Remember, Miriam had just died. They had barely got away from the graveside service, and the people were complaining about not having any water. I think that would probably get worse. I think that would irritate you. I think that might frustrate you. You have all these people. I can't even grieve the loss of my sister because you murmuring and complaining. But guess what? Guess what, leaders? Guess what? Guess what? He was upset. He had just buried his sister, right? And I get it. Like I said, it was hot. They in the desert. Me personally, I literally just cannot do a lot of heat. I promise you I can't. So I'm not even bashing Israel about complaining about not having no water and the heat. It can get up to 120 degrees in the Middle East. I don't even want to ever think about being in that kind of heat, okay? I get it. My heart goes out to them. So maybe Moses was distracted by frustration. Maybe he was distracted by the fact that, look, I'm trying. Can you just give me a minute? I'm trying to grieve right now. Can you just wait? Hold on. Whatever was going on in the midst of Moses' heart in that moment, it caused him to get distracted. It caused him to get distracted. Have you been there? I've been there. Oh, I've absolutely been there. Have you been there? So when the new thing came, when the different kind of instruction came, he was too upset and too wrapped up. Instead of calming himself, instead of, you know, like the first time he put himself before the Lord, the first time he cried out to the Lord, this time he was mad. He was mad. And I get it. Because people can frustrate you. They can absolutely. And I'm not even a senior pastor. But I've been around long enough to see how people can frustrate you. Absolutely. I get it, Moses. I get it. But he had a new type of instruction now. And he obviously remembered the last time he was in this position, he just hit the rock and the water came, right? But this time it was a problem when he hit the rock. Why was it a problem? Because he told him to speak to the rock. It was a different instruction. It was a different command for a different purpose. Oh, man. So God told him, because you didn't believe me. Oh, my goodness. He said, because you didn't believe me. Oh, man. Even in that moment, God help everybody that's listening right now. Every one of us, God, to forever settle in our hearts that we're going to believe you. Help us, God, to forever settle in our hearts that we're going to believe you, God, in the name of Jesus. And so in Numbers 20, he said, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you should not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Why was that significant? He was the second part of that message that he brought me. He gave me to bring out. Joshua. Remember, he said, you can't take the people. So he had to switch the command. He gave the command over to Joshua. In a few chapters over, Joshua chapter 6, they came upon Jericho. And God told Joshua, he said, take the people, walk around the walls of the city one time every day for 6 days in complete silence. On the seventh day, walk around the walls of the city 7 times in complete silence. Can you imagine that? I was trying to think about that. I was thinking about that today. We can barely get 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people on one accord long enough. Can you imagine all those people walking around the walls of the city in complete silence, 6 days in a row once, and then on the seventh day in complete silence, seven times. But they did it. And the Lord told Joshua, he said, after that seventh lap, tell the people to shout unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. Why was that significant? Because the scripture says that when we shout, God goes up in our shout and he accomplishes the thing. Like I said, God was trying to shift them from thinking that they had to lean on their own ability, lean on their own understanding, lean on their own intellect, lean on their own talent, and to just stand in the authority that he gave to them and to speak and to say and to declare what it is he tells them and then watch him move. Are y'all hearing me tonight? God, this is an invitation to us to stand in the authority God has given to us and to speak and to declare what he has said. We don't have to pick up a sword. We don't have to pick up a stick. Are y'all hearing me? Are you hearing me tonight? So if God couldn't trust him at the rock to speak to the rock, he would not be able to trust him to walk around and then shout. He would have been trying to hit the wall with a stick. And that wasn't what he wanted done. Oh my God. So for years, different ones prophesied that a shift was coming. Well, like I said a moment ago, it is here. It's not coming anymore. It is here. And it's up to each of us. Each of us get to decide whether or not we will go along with the shift. God has given us the invitation. Are you going to move with me? Right? Are you going to shift? Are you going to move with me? It's up to each and every one of us. I fear that sometimes our worst hindrances in moving forward is the memory of what we've accomplished in the past. Sometimes our greatest hindrances of moving forward into the new thing God is trying to bring us to is our memory of what we've accomplished in the past. Yes, when he struck that rock, that water gushed out and everybody drank to the heart's content. But he this time wanted him to speak to the rock. It's for a reason. Moses remembered hitting that rock that last time. And in his time of bereavement and frustration with the people that he was charged to lead, he made a grave mistake. And this is to everybody. Whether or not you are a leader in the sense or the definition of what the world says, you lead yourself, you lead your family, right? You might, whoever it is that you have been given the charge of, this is an invitation to you in this season to do things the way God is trying to get us to do them in a new way. So we all get caught up thinking about our ability and our intellect and our talent. We have all gotten caught up in that, thinking that's what it takes to get doors to open, to get things moving, right? And y'all know me. So y'all know I'm a worker extraordinaire. We make stuff happen, right? We're movers and shakers. But God is inviting us into a season where we don't think we have to rely on those things. Our movement, our talent, as we submit all that to God, as we allow him to be Lord over all of that, as we allow him to move us through inspiration, not desperation, not frustration. Come on, somebody. As we come into this new season with the Lord, he is showing us that we don't have to depend on our own abilities. All we have to do is stand in the authority that he has given to us. declare what he has decreed. Come on, somebody, declare what the Lord has decreed. Speak to the mountain, speak to the rock, speak to the wall. Hallelujah. And watch him go up in our shout. Watch him work the miracle out. Amen. Hallelujah. So some of us, we struggle with grace because of that. We struggle with it because we think we got to do something and we. The work is to believe. He told Moses, because you didn't believe me, Moses, I'm going to have to leave you over here. That's not going to be our testimony, DT. We've heard the word too much. We've heard the word too much. Bishop has taught us too well. That's not going to be us. That's not going to be us. That's not going to be our testimony. We're going to hear the new instruction. We're going to hear the new command. We're going to hear the new directive. And we celebrate what happened over there when God used us over there like that. But God is wanting to use us in a different way now. He's wanting to move us into a new area, to new territories. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So if we're struggling to let go of our own perception of what we accomplish and what we do and all of that, I invite you with all humility. With all humility, I invite you to give that to the Lord and allow the Lord to walk you through this thing and say, God, I don't want to miss you in this season. I don't want to miss you, God. I don't want to miss you. The shift is here. The shift is here. Hallelujah. Do we know what that means and what it looks like? Nope. Absolutely, we do not. Can you imagine? I'm sure they didn't know what he looked like neither. They're walking up to Jericho. The walls of Jericho are so thick that chariots raced across the top of the wall. But with the simple command, with the simple obedience of the command, they walked around one time every day for 6 days. Then walked around 7 times on the 7th day in complete silence until the command came for them to shout. And when they shouted, just like the scripture said, the Lord went up with the shout and he accomplished the thing. There are some things he wants us to accomplish for us, guys. There are some things that he wants to do in our lives. There are some things he wants to pull down, to bring down. Hallelujah. But he's inviting us to believe him in deeper ways. He's inviting us to believe him in new ways. Not taking anything away from the last time. But the cloud moved, right? The pillar of the cloud by day, it moved. The pillar of fire by night, it moved. It didn't stay in one place. God does not stay in one place. God moves. And he's inviting us to move with him. He's inviting us to go along with him. Praise God. Praise God. So again, that hit me really hard today. That hit me really hard today when out of my spirit, one of the greatest hindrances to us moving forward is the memory of what we've accomplished in the past. Because it feels good, right? We're happy. We had a result, right? There were positive results, positive, you know, maybe we believe God for something and he brought that thing to pass. So we celebrate that thing. We talk about that thing. We rejoice in that thing. And God is saying, that's good. But there's something else I got for you. There's something else I got for you. There's something else that I have for you. So that's all I have for you guys tonight. The Lord just wanted to remind us that the shift is not coming. It's here. It's here. It's here. And we have to trust him in the new thing. Because like we said last week, we've never been here before. We've never been this way before. We have to stick close to the shepherd. Amen. We got to stick close to the shepherd because we've never been this way before. He has to, we have to trust and learn to hear his voice so that we know which direction to go because we've never been this way before. We've never been this way before. Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know. I didn't see any prayer requests come through on the chat. But I'll give you about 15 seconds to type them in if you have one. Praise God, because we definitely, this is our prayer time. We definitely want to pray for any needs that we might have. We just thank God. We thank God for all that he's doing, all that he's saying. From the Sunday morning conference calls, from all the people who've ministered, it's been a blessing every single week. Amen. Encouragement, enlightenment. Oh man, it's been amazing. Sunday mornings with Pastor Mark for Transformation Hour. That's been absolutely powerful. If you haven't, if you've missed some of those, please go back and watch those replays right here on the DT Live wall, and then here on Wednesday nights. God's been speaking. He's never stopped. And he didn't wait until the pandemic hit to start talking. That's why I love him. He's been talking to us all along. He's been talking to us all along. But like my mom, she said this since I can't even remember, you know, when she started saying it's been so many years since she said this. She said, hindsight is 20/20. Hindsight is perfectly clear vision. Amen. In other words, we may not understand it when God says it this day, but after some other stuff transpires, when it comes back around, that's what that was. Hindsight is always 20/20. So God didn't wait until the pandemic hit to start talking to us. He's been talking to us all along. Amen. Amen. Okay, Pastor Mark, pray for the expedited release of the expected funding. Amen. 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 I think we all want some release of some expected funding. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, again, before I close, let me remind us, if you have not had the opportunity to join us on Sunday mornings on the conference call at 11 a.m., please see the pinned announcement here on the DT Live page and get that phone number and join us, okay? We will love to have you on the call. Pastor Mark has been so gracious to have set that up for us and have so we can have the ability to stay connected during this stay-at-home order, okay? And so we want to make sure that we get on there and connect, amen. And then again, on Sunday mornings, right back here on Facebook Live, you can view Pastor Mark at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings for Transformation Hour. He is going to be going into a new series in May. Amen. And so you can join him here. You can join him here on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for Transformation Hour. And then back here at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays with me for prayer and just a smidget of a word if the Lord releases it. Okay. Looking for a new house. Amen, Sister Rita. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know. That might be I think it might be a buyer's market, maybe. The way things are looking, the interest rates and all that. So we definitely be praying with you on that. Praise God. Well, if there aren't any other requests, we're going to pray. We're going to end the time in prayer. Pray for these requests. Whatever the Lord may even, you know, impress upon me as we're praying. But Father God, we thank you and we praise you, God. We just take a moment, God, to say thank you. Because we know you are so good. God, you are so good. Your mercy endures forever, God. We thank you, Lord, for your love towards us, God. We didn't do anything to deserve it, God. We can't do anything to deserve it, but God, we are so grateful. We are so very grateful, God, for your long suffering. We are so very grateful, God. Hallelujah, how you keep us, God. We're so very grateful, Father, for how you strategize and how you plan, hallelujah, the movement of our lives, God. Truly, Father, there is no safer place than in your hands and in your care. There is no safer place, God, and we thank you. Glory to God for how much you love us and for how much you care for us, God. God, who is man that you are mindful of us, oh God? But we appreciate the fact that you are. We appreciate the fact, God, that you are. God, I lift up every single person, God, that is on this line tonight, who's viewing this either live, God, or the recording. God, we lift them up to you, God. You know exactly who they are, God. You know exactly what they have need of, God. You know exactly, God, where you are leading them and guiding them, Father, in their own individual lives, God. I thank you, God, for covering, God. I thank you, God, for protection. Lord God, I thank you for covering them with your wings, God. Hallelujah. I thank you, God. I thank you, Father, for how you've kept us in the midst of this pandemic, God, that we've not gotten sick, God, that we've not, hallelujah, fallen victim and prey, oh God, hallelujah, to this illness, God. And I thank you so much for your keeping power. I thank you so much, God, glory to your name, hallelujah, that you've kept it away, hallelujah. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I pray tonight, God, for all of the families, God, hallelujah, who have lost loved ones because of this virus, Father. I pray for each and every one of them, God, across the world. Glory to God, that only you can, God, that you would bring comfort and that you would bring peace. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. There are no words that we can say, hallelujah, in our humanness, Father, but you can transcend, hallelujah, where our language, hallelujah, falls short. God, you can go by your spirit, glory to God. You can go by your spirit, hallelujah, to the deep places and to the hurting places, oh God, and bring about a peace that passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for each and every one. Hallelujah, that is working in the hospitals, God, the nurses, the doctors, hallelujah, the scientists, the researchers, God, all of those, glory to God, that are working around the clock, glory to God, to come up with solutions. Father, I pray, hallelujah, God, there is no problem that has ever hit the earth, God, that you haven't given a solution for. Hallelujah. There is no problem, hallelujah, that has ever hit the earth that you haven't given a solution for. So, Father, I thank you for the solution. God, I thank you, God, for the solution. I thank you for the eradication, God. Bishop called us, hallelujah, on Sunday to join him beginning tomorrow for a time of fasting and prayer and consecration, God, as we seek your face, God. Hallelujah, for the complete eradication of this virus. God, we know that you can do all things. Glory to God. We know that you can do anything. Hallelujah. Father, you told us that if we believe, glory to God, that we can do anything, God. But we know that you can do anything. Hallelujah. And God, I thank you, Father, that you are pouring out of your spirit wisdom, pouring out of your spirit, hallelujah, creativity, pouring out of your spirit, glory to God, scientific technology, God, in Jesus' name, that will help the medical community know what to do, about this virus. God, we thank you and we trust you for that. We thank you and we trust you for that. God, we do what we can, hallelujah, with covering our mouths and washing our hands and keeping our areas and homes clean. God, we do those things in the natural, God, but we can't do everything. There are some things we literally cannot do, and we trust and rely on you, glory to God, to keep us safe. We trust and rely on you, hallelujah, to bring an end to this virus, God. Only you can do it. Only you can do it. Only you have the wisdom. Only you have the insight, oh God. And I thank you, Father, that you're already pouring out. You're already pouring out. You're already connecting the dots, Father. You're raising up, hallelujah, that Daniel. You're raising up, hallelujah, that Joseph. You're raising up that Esther, that one who has the solution, hallelujah, to this thing. And I pray, God, that you put them in the place they need to be, hallelujah, seen by the person they need to be seen, hallelujah, so that this thing can come to an end. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in the hearts of your people in the midst of it, God, that what you're doing and the things that you're building up in your church, universal, hallelujah, not just Deliverance Temple, God, but the church all over the world. I thank you and I praise you, God. Hallelujah, for new vision. I thank you and praise you, God, for new strategy. I thank you and praise you, God. Hallelujah, for new motives, new agendas. Hallelujah, that you are breathing, hallelujah, on your people. Glory to God that you are breathing on your people in the name of Jesus, that you're drawing in those, hallelujah, maybe that ran off, God, that you're drawing in those, hallelujah, those who refuse to ever come. Hallelujah. They said they would never come, God, but in the midst of this, God, you've used this, you've allowed this, hallelujah, to touch people's hearts, God, that they might come to you. So, God, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that as you've poured out on your pastors and you've poured out on your apostles and you've poured out on your prophets and you've poured out on your teachers and you've poured out, hallelujah, glory to God, on the leaders. Glory to God, that we might have the heart of God, that we might have the heart of God, not our own way, not our own agenda, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Help us to put all of that down. Help us to put all of that down and take up, glory to God, what it is that you would have us to do in this hour. God, help our confession to be that as that of Jesus. I do what the Father tells me to do. I speak what the Father tells me to speak in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I do what I see my Father do. Glory to God. I speak what I hear my Father speak in the name of Jesus. Allow that to be our testimony, God, as your people. God, and as you are carrying us in directions, Father, that we've never gone before. We don't have a road map. There are no GPS coordinates, God. There are no mile markers for where you're taking us now, God. Help us, God. All the things that we've learned thus far, allow those things to be a foundation in us, God, that we may be able to hear clearly your voice, discern clearly your voice, as we follow you in this new season, God. I pray for Bishop and First Lady, God. I thank you for continuing to keep them strengthened physically, spiritually, God. Even as Bishop celebrates his birthday on tomorrow, we thank you for another year of life for him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray for every pastor and minister at Deliverance Temple, God, that you continue to get pour out on us wisdom and insight and revelation, God, of your word. In the name of Jesus, God, that we go to the next level, hallelujah, of where you're trying to take us, God, as a church. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every member, God, every household represented, Father. I thank you for healing. I thank you for touching, God. I thank you for provision in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, oh God. I thank you for it, oh God. God, I lift up Pastor Mark and Sister Nina, God, as they are believing, God, that funds that they're expecting will be expedited. God, that you would remove every barrier, God, every hindrance, God, in the name of Jesus, God, every bottleneck, God, every everything that would try to come and be a hindrance, Father. Whether it's human error, God, whatever it is, Father, we pray that you move it out of the way. Hallelujah. That you take their paperwork, God, and bring it up to the top. Glory to God. That their email, wherever it is on the road, God, it would be brought up to the top, God, in the name of Jesus, so that theirs, God, hallelujah, can be expedited. We thank you for what you've already done for them. Glory to God. It's nobody but you. Glory to God. It's nobody but you. But we thank you, God, for how you've blessed and poured out already, God. And we thank you, God, that you're going to bring another wave, God, for Mark and Nina. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus, God. We pray for our sister Rita, God, who's looking for a new home, God. Father, your word says that you give us a sure dwelling. Hallelujah, God, that you fill our homes with good things that we didn't fill it with. Hallelujah, that you give us homes that we didn't have to build. Hallelujah, the promises of Deuteronomy, God. We pray that for our sister, God, as she looks for her home, God, that you will lead her and guide her to exactly where it is, God. God, that it is the price range, hallelujah, that you've shared with her, oh God, to believe you for. God, that whatever is needed, God, as far as credit, God, as far as interest rate, God, as far as down payment, God, whatever it is that she has need of, hallelujah, in the realm of this new home, God, I pray you give it to her in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, Father, whatever it is that you have shared with her to believe you for, Father, I pray that belief just explodes in her heart, that faith explodes in her heart, that she would believe, hallelujah, the thing that you have told her about this new home. In the name of Jesus, the neighborhood, glory to God, the landscaping, God, the plumbing, the electric work, God, we pray all of it, hallelujah, that you've covered all of it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for what you're doing in the lives of your people. We thank you for the blessing, hallelujah, for what you're doing. Father, I'm reminded, hallelujah, of the brother that Pastor Mark told me about, that Sister Carol knows in her community that passed away from cancer. Father, I pray for his family, hallelujah, God, that you would be a comfort to them in Jesus' name. God, he just died. His light bulb just went out, Father. They thought it was going to be something else, God, but you did a different thing. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that he was able to keep walking his dog, and that he had strength in his body to do things that most people in his condition would not be able to do. Glory to God. But now we thank you that he's with you. And God, as he is with you, Father, we pray that you would be with his family on this side, comforting them in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the treasury of our church, Father, that you've put it on the hearts of people to just keep giving. God, even though we can't meet physically, Father, that you kept on our hearts to continue to give. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus, that we have no lack. Glory to God, that we have no lack. Glory to God, not just at the house on 2101 West Chestnut, but in our individual houses, God, that we have no lack. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, that you keep providing, keep opening up ways, God, that where there seemed to be no way. God, I pray for Sister Beth in her interview. She didn't ask me, but I'm praying, God, that you bless her, God, on this interview that she has. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you, God. We thank you and we praise you, God. God, and I pray that you would touch those among us, God, that would join Bishop in consecrating and believing you as he has extended the invitation on Sunday to join him in special prayer to concerning this virus, Father, that it would be a swift thing, God, a swift removal, swift eradication in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our city officials in Springfield, Father, that you would give them wisdom, God, that they not fall to the pressure, hallelujah, God, but they truly hear from you, whatever that is. We don't know what that is, God, but you know what's right. You know what's right. So, Father, we pray, God, that you would speak, hallelujah, that you would speak, to the mayor, God, that you would speak to city council, that you would speak to the presiding commissioner, that you would speak, glory to God. And after you speak, that then we would have the courage to follow through on what we heard. In the name that is above every name, we thank you, God. We praise you. I'm so grateful to you. I'm just so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to you. And I pray, God, that as we go away from this moment, that you are going with us, God. And until we come back at the next appointed time, we thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. I had my eyes closed, so I didn't see anything else in here that you all may have written, but amen. Amen. Maybe nothing else is in the way. Well, hey, Sister Amanda, God bless you. If you're still on tonight, God bless you. Okay, friends, so what time is it? We're over time, aren't we? Yep, we're over time. But again, visit the announcement page, the pinned announcement here on the DT Live page for information on how to join us for the conference calls on Sunday morning at 11. Meet Pastor Mark right back here on this page at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings for Transformation Hour. He's going to be starting a new series, from what I understand, on Sunday. So we're excited about that. I know April's was off the chain. Hallelujah. It was an absolute blessing. And we can't wait to hear what God has for May. And then if you are so inclined to join me again back here next Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for prayer. We love you. God bless you. May the Lord, may he shine on you in the name of Jesus. May his peace surround you like a shield. Hallelujah. May the favor of God be on you. May you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. In the name that is above every name, the name Lord Jesus. We love you guys. We will see you back here on Sunday. God bless you. Good night.